and he could do no deed of power there except lay his hands on a few people, and he was amazed at their unbelief. These are surprising and troubling words that Mark reports to us about Jesus. And they're surprising because up to this point in Mark's gospel, Jesus' power has been on such clear display. 2 weeks ago, you may recall, we heard that Jesus calms the storm, that even the wind and the seas obey him. Last week, Jesus' power is so great that when a woman reaches out and just touches the hem of his garment, she is healed. And then Jesus, over the mocking laughter of others, raises this 12-year-old girl to new life. And so Jesus' power has been on full display. So it's troubling here that Jesus couldn't do these miracles. And Mark suggests that the cause is because the people do not have faith. They have disbelief. They're not open to what Jesus can do. And this leaves us then with the haunting question, is there a way in which our actions, our sin, our lack of belief can somehow limit, stymie, constrain the work of God in this world? Can it be that I can limit what God can do? And the answer that Mark gives us today, the answer that I think life also reveals is yes. Yes, in fact, this is true, that as we sin and as we close ourselves off to what God is doing in this world, that yes, in fact, we can limit what God can do in this time and in this place. I think of a very easy and concrete example. A child cries in the night. The Lord wants to heal and comfort this child. But if the parents do not awaken and do something, the child is not healed in that time and in that place. Again, when we say no, when we close ourselves off, there is a way in which what God can do is limited in a time and a place. But to put this maybe in a more positive light, it is clear that Jesus is comfortable. In fact, Jesus is about relying on you and me to do the healing that this world so often needs. And so Jesus' response to this lack of faith then is to send out his disciples. He sends them out. He gives them authority, the Bible says. And so there's a way in which Jesus is relying then on the disciples to do the work of healing. This is true in the Bible. This is true in life, where God again gives us, calls us, commissions us, entrusts us with the task of healing, of becoming agents of God's healing. This summer, as part of a Bible study in our pod and pub format, we've been reading the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is about a man who lived around 500 years before Jesus. And he's given the task of rebuilding ancient Jerusalem and its walls. And as it turns out, there are no little magic fairies that God sends to rebuild the wall of ancient Jerusalem. God calls Nehemiah, who then must equip and organize and lead countless other people in this effort to heal the walls of Jerusalem and restore the spirit of the city. Again and again, we find in human history and in our lives that God is willing, God is active in entrusting us with responsibility to love and to care for our neighbors. In fact, this act of entrusting is what gives life meaning. The profound sense that in this time and in this place, that if I don't act, goodness will not be able to move forward. And I want to give a word for this, and I want to offer the word interdependence. Interdependence means that the two entities rely on each other. And it turns out that the Bible shows times where there's interdependence between us and God, where from God we receive health and strength and daily bread. But God then depends on us to be God's agents in this world of care and love and justice. Again, there's this interdependence. We rely on God for all of mercy and grace and sustenance, but God works through us to heal other people, just as God and Jesus Christ worked through the disciples to bring about healing in that time and in that place. And really, I'd like to offer that this whole section of the gospel here in Mark we heard today is about interdependence. When Jesus sends out the disciples into this world, he does not send them out as solo artists or as lone wolves, but he sends them out together, in partnership, in pairing. For many of us, the last year has taught us many things, but it's certainly true that all of us learned throughout all of these lockdowns just how much we need each other, how much we need to have social interaction, how important it is for us to have connection and partnership and relationship with each other. 2 weeks ago, we had two things happen here at St. Paul. The first is that we sent our older youth, our middle schoolers, off to Camp Kirkenwald for a week of confirmation camp. And we also invited some of the Kirkenwald staff to St. Paul for vacation Bible school. And this was a partnership. This was us working with the camps. And it was really cool every night to see the kids here having fun with the counselors, learning about the Bible. Likewise, up at confirmation camp to be connecting with each other, connecting with other local churches, and so forth. And one of the, I think, the really cool ways in which there was a partnership is that every night when the counselors came here before they would work with everybody, that they were fed a meal. Because what is the love language of college-age people? Food, right? This is the love language of college-age people. And so there was food brought in, and they were fed, and bread was broken together, and then they went out and had fun with our kids. Working, too, with other volunteers, I think all told, there were something like 30 or something volunteers. This is an incredible cooperative effort. And so, yes, in life and in ministry and Scripture, God does not want us to be alone, but God puts us together so that we can partner for the sake of the gospel, partner for the healing ministry that God has called us into in this time and in this place. So again, it's about this interdependence, in this case, with each other. But it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. And Jesus, when he sends out the disciples, he says, don't take with you a tunic or two tunics. Don't take a bag. Don't take all of this stuff. It's a really short list of what they're supposed to bring with them. In other words, don't bring enough that you can rely on yourself. They're going to have to stay and be at the mercy of others' hospitality. I think for those of us that live and grew up in Lancaster County, this is really difficult. The thought that God is actually asking us to be dependent on other people sort of goes against the core of what it means to be from Lancaster County. But here God is in Jesus Christ instructing the disciples to trust other people, not magic fairies for God to work through, but other people to be agents of hospitality and healing for them on their journey of serving Jesus. One of the ministries that I see embodying this trusting of God's mercy through people even outside of the church is the Whittle Farm. The Whittle Farm is located in Elizabethtown. Our church is a big supporter of it, and Pastor Matt is the captain of it. But what it is it's a 10-acre farm, and people come and outside of Matt, they're all volunteers. That had extra. I got 1,000 pepper plants from this producer. And suddenly, again, there's this great harvest of not just labor and food, but of generosity. Again, God has called us to live with such trust that we trust that God is going to work through other people to provide for the kingdom's purposes, for the healing that God has called us to, again, in this time and in this place. Now, you might find it strange, and I'm using the word interdependence, because today is, of course, July 4th, and I should be using the word independence, right? Right? Because this is Independence Day. But I was thinking about where we are as a nation, and thinking also about history, and I wonder if actually we could have called July 4th Interdependence Day. because it was in this war of revolution that we had to realize that we were interdependent on each other. No one colony, no one general defeated the British Empire, but the early colonists had to learn that they were reliant on each other. I remember in elementary school learning that flag that had that snake chopped up in the 13 pieces, right? That the colonies needed to unite or they would fall. It was a war of interdependence on each other and even those crazy French. And when we finally did come together and win our independence, we formed the most interdependent form of government that had ever been created, a constitutional republic with all sorts of checks and balances, again, designed to force cooperation and interdependence on each other. The last year in our country has stretched our sense of mutual trust with one another. From masks to vaccines, there is a low, I feel, of a sense of unity. And so maybe we need this year to remind ourselves of our interdependence on one another. For when I think about all of the great issues that we face as a society, and you can have your pick of the issue. You can talk about climate, you can talk about crime, immigration, drugs, race, whatever you want to talk about. It's clear with even the most basic reflection that the way forward has got to be together. It's got to be where we realize that we need each other to make this thing called freedom work in this country. So yes, I think it is fitting that on this day and where we are as a nation that we ponder the interdependence into which God has called us. But there is a way too in which perhaps interdependence has a limit when it comes to our relationship with God. For if we actually do what Jesus has called the disciples to do, to live a life where we are agents of God's healing in this world, where we seek to live in peace with our neighbor and partnership, where we rely and trust on the generosity of others to bring in an abundant harvest for God's purposes. If we do this, we will discover what St. Paul writes, a profound sense of our own limitations, of our own sinfulness and the conflict we have within. The story, of course, does not end in Mark chapter 6, but it must go on. It must go on to a point where the disciples are not doing what they should, but instead are running away. And there, Jesus takes into his own hands, this time him alone on the cross, the sins of this world, so that as he lives, we might then be healed. Certainly and ultimately in the next life, but here in this life, to be agents then of his healing for others. Amen.